Hey, Brendan.
Hey, Alan.
And welcome to D6 Minutes, the Miniatures Gaming Podcast.
All right. So, have you been hard at work cranking out miniatures from your printer or, you know, getting them painted? It sounds like you've been doing a lot of printing lately in recent episodes.
Let me see.
Are you going over to your desk to check on your desk? And should
Four
I be answering
minutes.
This first?
Yeah, I've been doing pretty good. So, Adepticon... Hope you didn't hear that. Adepticon is coming up, and so obviously the timeline to finish the miniatures that we're painting is definitely coming up as well. So I've been hard at work on that, and I'm happy to say I've almost completed my Infinity Army. So that is going to be a Bakunin army with a whole bunch of with true metallics. Ooh. On an Infinity miniatures, which, you know, we don't really do. And then everything is grimed up and mucked up with the Blanchet 2 style that we talked about before. So I think they're turning out pretty well.
So you have hit them with the filthy colors?
Oh, yeah. Everything is sepia, man. I just threw sepia on everything. Called it a day.
Okay. So not like dirt colors, but like sepia in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's a lot of sepia in the Blanchet 2 kind of thing.
Oh, there is. I know. I've been studying it as well for painting my other half of the duo army. So, yes, all the midtones and, like, all the pre-shading was all sepia on my stuff. And I put some sepia back into the light areas because, you know, can't have enough of that. But, yeah, just after talking with you about the deadlines, I keep having to cut back the number of things I think I'm going to paint. I'm like, oh, I'll paint all these extra figures that aren't in the army because they're kind of like, I've got two of the same unit, so I might as well paint them both at once. And then, like, no, the countdown's on. It might take 50% more time to paint two of the same model than one of the same model. But it's like, well, I don't have the extra 50% of the time anymore, so I'll just have to go back and paint another one later.
Exactly.
To have for, like, bigger games. So, yes, I had to cut that down. And I'll have to start painting Arena Rex probably next few days to be able to play that as well. And you're also like, oh, yeah, you're going to have to borrow some of my figures back. I'm like, yeah, I guess. I will.
And I do have, I actually, because I'm ahead, technically, of where I thought I was going to be, I have started painting some extra Bakunin models. So hopefully, during the Infinity Tournament for March, I can play Bakunin and play Tested Army. Otherwise, I'm going into the tournament, the Duos Tournament, without ever having played Bakunin.
Yeah, I've seen some people start posting in our, like, local Discord or Facebook groups that they're new. I'm like, oh, maybe I should just challenge them at 200 points, because that's the army I have. And I mean, I don't know the army that well, so I might not crush the noob that badly.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not even meant to be played as an army. It's, like, meant to be half an army, so it doesn't even have all the tools. So it's, like, it's a neutered version of the army.
Exactly, it should be fine, although I think my army has all the tools. Mm-hmm. It's a 200-point... army with all the tools and a full pure 5-man link, so I could definitely crush a noob even though it's half an army.
No, my guys are coming together, so I've become more enthusiastic about painting. So that's one good thing about, like, once you get more steps further along, you're like, oh yeah, I can see the end goal. So I'm willing to put more time into painting when it's like, oh yeah, getting close.
So you don't Yeah, so you get to do all the fancy stuff, right? Right now, I'm doing rust effects right now. Yep. So I'm actually doing a lot of the, for the main guys, I just finished the highlights, so the red and things like that for the highlighting. And I might do a little bit more, like, extra highlighting for red glow and stuff, but I might not even do that just because it's extra work that I don't want to do. And then instead, I've been doing the rust effects on the bases. So we'll see how that goes.
On the note of comments that may help listeners in the last couple seconds, you can see this Vallejo FX paint I'm holding that's rust. It's pretty much just normal paint for anybody listening. If they're wondering about some of the FX paints, they just behave mostly like paint. So some of them have
extra stuff. I have a rust too. I've been using an orange rust.
And it just behaves like paint. Is it one of the FX paints or is it something else? The game color FX?
It's
the
metal wash paint. It's a metal wash rust paint.
From
I think
Vallejo?
It is like tiny flakes of orange.
Which brand's paint?
Vallejo. It's Vallejo. It's the ones that are in the same line with the, I don't know what you call it. You know, this size that you will definitely not see if you listen to this as a podcast, which you can only listen to it as a podcast because this is only a podcast.
So like not the regular big, dropper, not the regular dropper not bottles, the regular, but a twist
they're
top?
Like larger.
So like
no, they're a cap. There's a cap. Uh-huh. There's the metal ones with the cap, and they're like larger. And there's a rest effect version, and there's I think a sand version. They're more for like the Vallejo model, right? Like for tanks and things like that, military armor, and historical armors. So I think it has some sort of powders in it, but I'm not actually quite sure.
So they're either very fine or not visible. Well, for anybody listening, I can tell them the Vallejo game color special effects rust. Uh-huh. No texture. It's paint. It probably has some mediums in it that are like let it pool differently, which it works pretty well for the purpose. But I mean, it's not much different than paint.
Just use paint. Yeah, I was thinking about that. I'm like, why am I putting so much effort into this? Like, why am I using these washes? Is it simpler or should I just paint using orange paint for the rust? So we'll see.
I've been doing pretty well with orange paint for all the rust I painted. That's what unless you want like grit, but we've gone over time on this. We can make it a topic later.
All right. Do you want to ask the question?
Yes. So this falls into like tools of playing the games. So you know how some games will just give you like a movement tool and that's what you're supposed to move your guys?
Yep.
Should you, when you move figures, just be using a movement tool, not a tape measure, in games when they don't explicitly tell you to?
1 minute.
So like think of Infinity. They're like, they will sell you the tools, but they're not like, no, you have to use this. And just like, I'm trying to think other games should where they sell it? You movement I tools.
Think you should use whatever is easy to use. So if you have a game, like some super awesome streamlined game where you only need one 8-inch stick,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote, you know, Blood of Stars, our game.
Yep.
Just use that. Why do you need these longer tools? But something like Infinity, where you have to measure out to 24 or 32, the opposite is true. You already need a measuring tape for that, so you might as well just use a measuring tape all the way through. How about you?
Okay. So your thing is that even though you're trying to like measure, I don't know.
Limit your tools to a minimum. That's my point.
Okay. I just find that it becomes very clunky moving guys. Like the small amounts, like measuring a line to line distance for shooting with a tape measure. Yeah, it's good. It's line to line distance. But when you've got movement where you've got to go around corners and stuff like that, I find the tape measure gets really clunky for that. And people start exaggerating their movement more. You know,
well, that helps me. I don't see what the problem is.
Oh, I see. Now I see why you went for that. Okay. So we've concluded that people who try and use tape measures to move their models are cheaters. Done. That was 1 minute.
All right. All right. Well, we ran out of time, so I can't have a counterpoint. All right. So here's a question. So I think we've mentioned a bunch about, you know, how we're working on a Blood of Stars game. And we actually have a simpler version, right? Because I think people have listened to our podcast for a while. You'll know that the reason for Blood of Stars is specifically to be simple. But we've now like massaged it into a game that we like the complexity of, so it's a relatively more complicated game, but we have actually realized that we could remove all of the things that, you know, make it the game that we want to play all the time to create a much more simple, more streamlined, much more tight kind of experience that you could basically have a new person be their first war game. Like, Blood of Stars could be your first war game. But, like, when someone who's new into the hobby comes to the hobby, you want to often give them the simplest version of the miniature game experience. Yeah. So we've created a tight, more, like, streamlined rule set called Gunfight. But the thing is, the streamlined thing is only 16 to 20 pages, depending on if you consider, like, frequently asked questions and examples part of the package, right? And the cover and stuff. So my question is, how much would you pay for this zine level format. So something like, and it's not just like, this is, I'm talking about our game, Gunfight, but also Space Weirdos is a game that is, we just talked about, which is like 16 pages.
Print on demand?
Yeah, and it's print on demand, PDF, oh, no, sorry. $3.
So not print on demand, print at home, right?
Yeah, sorry, print at home, because you can't even, they don't even send it to you. You can just get the PDF for like $3 on Wargame Vault, $3 American. So how much would you generally be willing to pay for these kind of zine format things under, let's say, 24 pages or something like that?
All right, roll it up.
2 minutes.
All right, so I think being the one paying for it is the interesting question, because who's paying for it is probably the person trying to get the other, the new person into the game. So like as a new person, okay, if you're going to jump into the game, you don't, I don't even think you new players really know what they want out of a game. They're going to be more looking at the miniatures, and then I think they're going to end up, like, if somebody didn't have anyone guiding them into it, they would just end up buying into some of the big systems or whatever, like IPs. Like, oh, I like Star Wars. They end up in Legion or something, even though it's a really big leap. So I think the person who's buying it is probably going to be the person trying to get the other person into the game, and that would, I guess, be like one of you and I trying to get other people into it. So I would definitely be up for paying like up to five easily, because it's not a game I'm going to want. It's basically like, okay, I'm spending $5 to have like a fun time with this other person I know. Which,
it's not necessarily into the game, miniature gaming.
Yeah, because I'm going to feel like I'm throwing this money away on a temporary experience, because it's not like a game I'm going to be in. And going like beyond 10 for that, for like something that may just be a one-off depending on the other person's experience, I think that might be a little like much. Anyway, that's my ask.
Also for 24 pages, fair enough. I think your point is well taken. I think a lot of it probably comes down to what the cover looks like and whether the person feels like they're going to get some sort of value. I do think there's a bunch more people coming into the hobby from the D&D space, so it's an adjacent hobby, so they kind of know about it. And I think, you know, Space Weirdos is one of those things, right? So you're right, like a lot of people are picking it up to try with their friends who are not yet in the hobby, right? But there are people who are just dipping a toe in at having played D&D and that kind of, you know, or RPGs where there's like a pseudo kind of strategic game. You could say it's actually a strategic game, right? It's just that one person's a dungeon master. So I do think people do come through it by themselves. And I do think they will look at it based on the value that they perceive. So if you have something like 24 pages and less, that's like a magazine. How much are you paying for a magazine? If it's like a super shiny magazine, like the ones you see produced by Games Workshop, maybe you could charge $10, right? Because that's how much, you know, those magazines cost if you buy it, you know, in a grocery store. But if it looks like more of a zine, as in like a hand-produced ones, often printed on letter sheets, right? I do think 3 to 5 makes more sense.
Yeah, you probably have something to say about the cover value, being like, oh, if you have a really good cover, you can get 5 or up. But if you don't want to spend like hundreds of dollars on an artist for the cover, then you might be stuck in the 3 to 5 range. Anyway, interesting thought.
Yep. All right. You got another one?
Yep. All right. So I was just looking at miniatures on Warhammer Community before this, which fortunately that has never made me buy anything. So, you know, I feel safe doing that. But it was looking at a lot of the Dark Angel releases, and the sculpts, a lot of them have like smoke sculpted onto them and like flames sculpted onto them. I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on whether having like smoke and flame effects actually sculpted onto the miniatures being a good thing or not?
Oh man, this is a hard one. Oh. 3 minutes. That's everything, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Sure.
That'll be the full thing.
Yeah,
3, 2, 1, yeah. 3, 2, 1, 4. 4. So I think sometimes I'm okay with it, and in general I actually don't like it, especially smoke. I hate smoke. Fire, sometimes, sure. because oftentimes fire, you need that fire to make the model work.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure in general you need smoke to make the model work.
Yeah, because this thought was brought on by seeing the new sculpt for the Dark Angels Asmodai. Mm-hmm. And he just has enormous puffs of smoke like down both sides. And they did an okay job painting it. Yeah. But honestly, like it only looks so-so. And this is the studio paint job. So I'm sure someone could paint it to look pretty good, but it seems like setting people up to have a really lousy looking model.
Yeah, smoke is harder than fire. Like, here's the thing with fire. Often when they sculpt it, the fire is not, you're supposed to be able to kind of have the fire be the centerpiece. And so for it being like fully solid, so you can just see it, it makes at least some sort of sense that you just see an opaque block painting, and you don't necessarily have to make it painted to seem like it's glowing or whatever, right? To make it kind of interesting. But like smoke in general is supposed to be somewhat see-through, and in general smoke doesn't look that good if it's just, if you're just, you know, painting it like smoke, right? Yeah. I don't know, maybe I'm biased, but like to me smoke is a lot harder to make look interesting. And then, and then what happens if you want to use smoke effects, right? So if you want to use smoke as in like use cotton or something like that to have a smoke effect when you already have the modeled smoke, that's weird too.
Yeah, you cannot do both on a miniature.
So fire, yes, smoke, no, but even fire, people are probably doing too much, especially GW. I feel like GW has been doing way too much sculpting of this kind of effects.
Yeah, because those sort of effects, you expect to see them moving in real time. Yeah. Like with a sculpt, or like you're sculpting something, that thing could presumably be standing still. But fire and smoke, those don't stand still. So no matter what, it's going to break sort of the realism of just like looking at it as a miniature. But at least with fire, when it gets to be small enough, you're like, okay, I don't expect to see it to be able to be moving around a lot. But sometimes when they put big fire effects on something, now you're like, no, that ought to be like jumping up and down, moving all around. But like a little torch, no problem there.
Well, you could also have a fire elemental. I think there's some sort of sense of saying that you could do them. And I don't necessarily think I would say the moving thing is more in line with how some people don't like non-metallic metal and swear by true metallics. Like, they must hate smoke and fire, right? Because smoke and fire modeled looks even less like actual reality than non-metallic metal, right?
Well, I'm like, if something's hanging from a chain and they make it out of plastic and you got to cut that off, you got to go buy those tiny little miniature chains and put it back on with the miniature chains.
Cool.
So it can actually swing.
Swing naturally.
She's like, no, this is... You can make a video of this and then blow it up. And if you painted it really well, people are like, oh, it could be full size. That's the ultimate goal in miniatures.
Yeah, making everything real. It's cool. I don't know. I feel like the static thing is fine. To me, these are sculptures, right? These are like miniature sculptures. So to me, having it not move is fine. It's just I feel like smoke. Also, people don't sculpt smoke in general as well as they have sculpted fire. Fire generally can look cool in many different ways, and there's like a almost like a known way to sculpt fire to make it look interesting and cool.
Yep.
I feel like cool looking smoke sculpted is a lot harder, and also a lot of the coolest smoke I've seen that's been sculpted is cartoony, and you know that's generally not what GW does, so it just ends up looking not as good.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, sculptors should be wary of it. That's our thought. That's the
I haven't actually seen the model you're talking about, so maybe I'll be like, oh my god, this is totally changing my mind.
It's not good. It's like these blobs. If it was slime, I'd be like, yeah, okay, there's slime coming off of him. Maybe make this work.
Maybe you could model it as slime. And
Nurgle.
Make it work.
He's just like a slime coming off of his hands. Yeah, there you go.
Anyways, that has been our questions for D6 Minutes. This is the companion podcast to Dice Over Everything, wrapping up. If you have any questions that you want us to answer, Why don't you send us an email at contact@diceovereverything.com.
Or find us on Facebook, or Dice Over Everything.
This has been Alan.
It's been Brandon.
Bye.